two Tanya. 217 at the bottom, on the top. For you, it's 116 on top. 217 at the bottom. We are going to start 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines from the top of the page. Okay, the last thing the Alter Rebbe was explaining, that when a person does mitzvahs, they're not only doing it for themselves, they're doing it for all the people, the whole nation. Like we said, to bring down all godliness into the whole thing, into the whole world. Okay, and the proper way of observing Torah mitzvahs, like he said, is in the way what's called Mesiras Nefesh. What does Mesiras Nefesh mean? Giving up myself for God. Mesiras Nefesh doesn't mean, Chassidus explains, we discussed this last week, and to go into it more now, because Alter Rebbe is continuing with it. Normally when you ask a Jew in the street, a learned Jew, what does Mesiras Nefesh mean? They mean you're willing to give up your life for God. You know, they come to you and say, worship idols or else I'll kill you, you know, you give up your life, that's called Mesiras Nefesh. Or Mesiras Nefesh means it's very, very difficult. You're in communist Russia and they don't let you observe mitzvahs and you do it anyway. Okay, that's called Mesiras Nefesh. Chassidus explains it much differently. Mesiras Nefesh means giving up my will. It doesn't mean jumping off a roof. It doesn't mean killing ourselves. Mesir Nefesh, the word Nefesh, besides meaning soul, there are many psukim in Tanakh that the word Nefesh means will, desire. And Alter Rebbe is explaining, we get up in the morning, the first thing we say, Elokai neshama shenasatabi, this God, the God, this neshama you put into me is pure, and you blow it into me, and you're gonna take it back from me, and you're gonna give it back to me when Mashiach comes, you know, that's what we say in Elokai neshama shenasatabi. So he says, what does that mean in practical language? We start the day by saying, God, I'm yours. We give up our will for Hashem. In fact, what's the first thing a Jew says in the morning as soon as they wake up to open their eyes, before even they wash their hands, is, Maidani lefanecha. I submit myself to you, God. I'm giving up myself for you. It doesn't mean killing yourself. It means if there's something I want versus what God wants, I give up my will for what Hashem wants. Okay? And he says that attitude we start as soon as we wake up in the morning. And that's called Mesiras Nefesh. We're doing it not because I want, because this is what Hashem wants, and that's why I'm doing it. So he says like this, V'hine, 9 lines in the top of the page of 116. B'chonezu shal Mesiras Nefesh l'Hashem, and therefore with this preparation of giving up themselves to Hashem, Yaschul Berchas Hashachat, then you can begin the morning blessings. You say, Baruch Atah, you know, Baruch Atah Hashem, this bracha and that bracha and so on. V'chein ba'achon ezu, the same thing with this preparation. Yaschel lilmeid shir kavua miyad achir atzvila. You can learn a set, you know, people should have set classes right after davening in the morning before they start the day. Or v'chein ba'emtza yom, even in the middle of the day. Kedem sheyaschel lilmeid, before the person starts learning. Tzricha ha'achon ezu lepachis. That's when you need this preparation. Meaning like this. The beginning of the day, or for that matter, before you're about to do a mitzvah or something, at least a few times a day, your attitude has to be, God, this is for you. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing this because this is what you want me to do. Then the mitzvah is done in a completely, completely different level. Because then there's no me involved. Is just what Hashem wants, that's why I'm doing it. Why am I doing it? Because that's what Hashem wants. Because Hashem wants to bring holiness into the world. He wants to reveal himself in the world, which is the definition of holiness. And that could be done only by me doing a mitzvah. So that's the reason why I'm doing a mitzvah. Not even for personal gratification. I'm not doing it for... listen, that should be our least problem. But in the lofty, in the proper way of serving, like we said, not for reward. Not for reward means not even for Gan Eden. Not even for anything. The proper way of doing a mitzvah, when you do it properly, with fear and love of Hashem, is when we do the mitzvah, because Hashem wants us to do it. So before you daven, you have that attitude. Before you learn, you have that attitude. Before you do mitzvahs in the middle of the day, you have that attitude. Then you're doing the, then you have the ultimate connection with Hashem. Because as long as there's a little me in there, then that blocks the total connection to Hashem. An empty vessel, you could put things into. A vessel that's full, you can't. A vessel that's half full, you also can't put completely, right? A person, in order to bring godliness into himself, has to be an empty vessel. You know, it's very interesting, we're learning before about tzedakah. There's a very interesting Gemara. The Gemara says in Shabbos, you ever notice that if you have a pushka, a tzedakah box, with a few coins in it, and you shake it, it makes a lot of noise. A full box doesn't, right, obviously. So Gemara says the person, a lot of times people who make the most noise, not the people that are full and holy. This is what the Gemara says. The people that make noise are the ones that are empty, really, and just making a lot of noise. But in a holy manner, the less me there is in doing the mitzvah, the more godliness there is. In other words, if I do mitzvahs I enjoy doing, like we said many times, if I do mitzvahs because, okay, this mitzvah I like, I do. This mitzvah I don't like, I don't do. Right? If you think about it, in Abiyat, it's good, just do mitzvahs, it's fine. But really, it has nothing to do with mitzvahs. It's nothing to do with God. If you're doing a mitzvah because God told you to do it, so what's the difference if you like it or not? What's the difference between mitzvah A and mitzvah B? If you're doing it because Hashem said so, mitzvah A Hashem said, mitzvah B Hashem said. The fact that I'm doing A because I like A and B I'm not doing because I don't like it, that means I'm not doing it because Hashem wants. It's just doing it because this I enjoy, I do it. This I don't enjoy, I don't do. And not only that, ultimately, again, we're all human, we have, there's certain mitzvahs we like, we do with more excitement. Then let's say cleaning for Pesach or whatever that the women hate. Okay, let's not get into that. That people hate or whatever it is. The true Jew will do both equally with the same excitement. And because the truth of the matter is, you reach a greater connection to Hashem when you do a mitzvah you don't want to do more than when you do it. Because when you do it because you want to do it, you enjoy doing it, then it's not totally God. There's you involved. And the level of you in that mitzvah doesn't allow godliness into that area. When you do it because Hashem wants, that's it. And that's what the Alter Rebbe is saying. That's the ultimate way of doing the mitzvah, is with that preparation. And he said, where do we find this in halacha? When is the proper, that you have to do it in the proper way of serving Hashem, is b'tchilas halimud b'beinim, by a beini, which is the average person that never sins, by the way. Like, if they write a divorce for somebody, and the divorce has to be written for his name and her name, so before they start writing the get, many people say the sefer, the rabbi, they say, I'm writing this get, lishma, for this and this man, for this and this woman, because God told us to do it. You don't have to do it the whole time. You don't do it in every line, but you do it at the beginning. Or a sefer Torah. You know, when they write letters in the sefer Torah, the sefer, when he writes the letters, beginning of the day, he says, the shem mitzvah ksiva sefer Torah. This is for the mitzvah writing a sefer Torah. He doesn't say it every line. He says it at the beginning and it goes for the day. So he says, just think at the beginning by a get of Sefer Torah, shatzrichim lishma la'akiv, that it must be lishma, because otherwise it's not kosher, or shiyemer betchila seksiva, that it's necessary halachically to say at the beginning of writing of the get of the Sefer Torah, had any case of l'shem kedusha Sefer Torah, I'm writing this for the sanctity of the Sefer Torah, or lishma lishma, if it's a get for his name and her name and so on, or therefore he says like this. Before you start learning, you want to learn properly. Keep in mind, put God into the equation. I'm doing this because Hashem wants. Why am I doing this mitzvah? Because this is what Hashem wants. Because that's the proper way of doing it. And then he says like this. What happens if you learn for 10 hours straight? Okay? How often should you do this? So he says, Yesh leilis beinim b'chana zuha now. You should meditate into this preparation of lishma mesidus nefesh. B'chol shah v'shah kupon at least every hour. Every hour on the hour. Why? Ki b'chol shah v'shah every hour of the day. He hamshach acheres. Okay, we're going to read a bunch of lines and explain what this means. Every hour in the day is a different revelation from God. Me'elim esalyenim from the higher spiritual realms. La'el achiyus atachteinim to give life to the lower worlds. V'amshach esachayish shebishar shel fenel and the life of godliness in the earlier hour. Chizer eslim keter goes back to where it came from. I mean like this. There's a famous story of Alter Rebbe when he was in prison. For you to discuss it. By the way, today's Alter Rebbe's yard site, Chav Dalet Davis. What? Today is Alter Rebbe's yard site. Tomorrow's Alter Rebbe's yard site. Which means like this. That when Alter Rebbe was in prison, they heard about his brilliance and they did a lot of things to test him. So, the prisons in those days weren't the country clubs of today. You know, the prison country clubs. They were dungeons. And it was pitch black. There was no light, no windows, no light. It was dark. One of the guards set up by the Tsar came to the Alter Rebbe and said, why aren't you sleeping? It's late at night already. And the Alter Rebbe said to him, it's 2:15 in the afternoon. He didn't have his cell phone with him. He didn't have a smartphone. He didn't have a watch. He didn't have anything. There were no clocks in the... So the guard was shocked. How would a prisoner know time-wise how things are doing? He didn't have a watch in the pitch black. And it's like, you know, after a while you lose concept of time. So the Alter Rebbe said to him, every hour of the day, the world exists from a different combination of God's name that he's going to say in a second. Every hour of the day from the 24 hours, there's different combinations of God's name that gives life to the world for that hour. And I know which hour revelation of godliness it's in. And I know it happened 15 minutes ago. So I knew it was 2:15. He told it based on the spiritual level of godliness, that the combination of God's names. So there's two names of God. There's Yud-Kei Vav-Kei. And there's the way we pronounce it, was it Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, Adnai. Okay, but now it says in Kabbalah, you know, when you have two letters, I'm going to test your math now. Two letters makes two combinations. If you have AB, you can make AB or BA. Okay? If you have three letters, six. If you have four letters, 24. Okay? There's a mathematical something for you. Okay, bottom line is, huh?
What?
I thought you said something. Okay, bottom line is that the four letters of God's name can be formed in 24 different variations. Okay? So it says in Kabbalah like this. During the day, like he says, is a combination of Yud-Kei Vav-Kei letters. And at night, it's Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. There's a different combinations of Yud. You can have Yud Kei Vav Kei. You can have Yud Vav Hey Hey. You can have Yud Hey Vav. I mean, you can have different combinations of the letters. So therefore, it says that because every hour of the day brings down a new revelation of godliness into the world. So he says it would be good that every hour when you're learning, even you're learning 5 hours, 10 hours straight, that every hour you have, because it's a new revelation of godliness for that hour. So you should have this preparation of giving yourself over to God. It doesn't have to take an hour to do, by the way, obviously. Just, in other words, that you're doing it because Hashem wants me to do it.
Did you say we're supposed to do that twice a day? He said we were supposed to say that.
Start at midnight?
No, he says...
No, not in the Tanya, but before you said that in Halakha, like, isn't it good to say that to before you start something or learn something.
Yeah, but now he says when you're learning it, ideally you should do it every hour on the hour, because every hour is a new revelation of God's name. And based on that, you know, you could... All the Alter Rebbe is saying is the proper way of serving Hashem is when you're doing it for Him, not for us. Fear God, like he says, the Rishis Aved, the Vikr Vesharsha, fear and love, and all of that. It begins with fear, awesomeness of God, awe of Hashem, fear of Hashem, respect of Hashem. And that all means that basically, I am nothing, and the King is everything. That's the definition of fear. Love is more I love, so it's more me involved. But you need both. You need, but you, the primary level that Rebbe is explaining in this paragraph before is the level of fear. What does it mean? Basically, we do mitzvahs because Hashem wants us to do it. And then I'm connecting to the infinite creator, like we learned many times, we become from infinite, we become infinite. From creation, we become creator. And that's what it says. And he says, this gives, so therefore like this, after each hour, what happens to that life from God that came? So it leaves, it goes back up. And then a new one comes down. Okay? But the Rebbe writes in a comment, even though the four could create 24, and yet we say Avaya Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is four letters, but only creates 12 of the day, and Aladad no Yud at night, right? He said, because from the 24, 12 are the primary ones, and the other 12 don't have anything to do with it, whatever, it's a whole Megillah, Kabbalistically. Okay, so he says, Ki b'chol shah, because every hour, six times in the end of the page, Ki b'chol shah, every hour of the day, Shelet Tziref Echod, is dictating and governing one combination from the 12 combinations of Havaya Baruch Hu, Yubei Shor Sayyim in the 12 hours of the day, Tzuruf Ishim Adnai, and the combinations of Aleph Dalud Nun Yud are at night, Kaneda as it's known in Kabbalah. Okay? That's the combination of the letters. So he says like this, what is the purpose of this Mesidas Nefesh? What is the purpose of giving myself up to God? Okay? In a kol kavanasei b'Mesidas Nafshi LaHashem, his whole, person's whole intent of giving up his will, not his life, his will to Hashem, aydei teiru v'tfila through davening and learning, is lahal is nitzutz elukusha b'secha, to elevate the spark of godliness which is in it, Lemkeda back to the source. Kedrak de lasis noch levnuch lefondiv yisparich, to do God a pleasure. And he's going to give an analogy and then I'll explain it. Kamashul simchas hamelech, it's like the joy of the king. Bevay elav b'nei yechidei, when his only child was imprisoned and now gets out of prison. Betzeisim min hashivya ubeiso asudim, when he comes out of prison. You can imagine the joy of God. Of the king, right? His only son was captured by other people, and now he finally was able to come home. So it's a great, great joy by the king. Every physical object has sparks of God in it that are in prison. It's not revealed. It's evil is the, it's the fruit in the peel, in the klipa, remember, in the evil. It can't reveal itself. These are sparks of godliness that are in exile. Okay? It's godliness in the world. There's no, you don't look in the world and see godliness. You see evil, corruption, you know, limitations, concealment. So when a person does a mitzvah, what am I doing by it, basically? If this, even, not only mitzvahs, if this soda that's in this cup, okay, because it's kosher, there's a spark of godliness that it could elevate it. But before I drink the soda, that godliness that's in the soda is in exile. It's in prison. Okay? When I take this and make a brach on it and drink it, and because of that we're able to teach and learn or function or live or whatever it may be, so what am I actually doing? I'm removing the spark of Kedusha that's in that soda and bringing it back to God. So it's the analogy of the king's son, the spark of Kedusha, and every spark is considered by Hashem like his only child. Like it says, the Baal Shem Tov said, other people said, that the love of God to every single Jew, no matter who the Jew is, the good Jew, the bad Jew, the real bad Jew, whoever the Jew is, the love that God has to every single Jew is like the love that a parent has to an only child that was born in the ripe old age. Which is even, they waited so long to have a kid and finally they have this only child. The love that the parent has to the child is unbelievable. That's the love that Hashem has to every single Jew. That's the love that Hashem has to every spark of Kedusha that's in the food we eat, or this paper which is made into a mitzvah, into a sefer, or all that. What is actually happening? We're taking God out of jail and we're bringing him back home. So therefore, a person has to know when they do a mitzvah, that's what they're making God happy, basically. Because now we are removing the spark that was an evil, and we're elevating it to Kedusha. We bring it back home, basically. And he says, Kavanazu, okay, he says, yeah, but who means it? So he says, interesting point. Kavanazu, this intent of doing it because this is what God wants, and we're giving ourselves our will up to what Hashem wants. He says, this is Amitis, Be'emes L'Amite L'Gamri, B'chol Nefesh Mi'Yisrael. This is the ultimate truth, okay, is genuine and truly, in the English it says truly sincere, in every single Jew, B'chol Eis V'chol Shah, every hour and every minute. Okay, Me'ava Ativis, because of the natural instinctive love, which is Yerushalayim Me'avisin, which is an inheritance that every Jew has. Meaning, he says like this. In fact, we were talking about this the other night by a class. There's emes, truth, and emes lamite, real truth, true truth. Let's say true blue. There's truth, and there's ultimate truth. Truth sometimes is relative. In other words, it's not, Dalton Rebbe speaks before in Tanya. A Beinoni was a very powerful Yetzer Hara, just doesn't listen to it, right? See, he still has a Yetzer Hara, so he's more like the Rasha, not the Tzaddik, because the Tzaddik killed his Yetzer Hara. But he never sins, not in thought, not in speech, and in action. He never sins, the Beinoni. And he says, but he's constantly fighting with the Yetzer Hara. When is he not fighting with the Yetzer Hara? When the Yetzer Hara goes to sleep. When does the Yetzer Hara go to sleep? So you said earlier in Tanya chapter 11, 12, 13, that when he's davening, because at that time he's meditating into the greatness of Hashem, at that time is an auspicious time, the godliness is revealed. So the Yetzer Hara goes to sleep. So at that moment he's like a tzaddik. He has no Yetzer Hara. The problem is, it's not real, because after davening it wakes up. So he really didn't really get rid of it. Right? He didn't really get rid of it because after davening, he wakes up. And there's such thing as sometimes true. Okay? But he says, nevertheless, I'm calling it truth because he has the potential to put it to sleep a whole day in the level of davening. Could daven on a whole day. Doesn't mean saying the words. It means the level of communication with God and the level of prayer. So anyway, so over there, it's true. When he davens, it's true. But it's not ultimate truth. Okay? To give you an example, a little kid will learn a pasuk in Chumash. Okay? Goes to his school, he learns the first pasuk in Chumash. Bereish is bar lekim es ha-shamayim ha-soras, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. Kid knows the pasuk. Correct? He knows it. He gets 100 on the test. He has to get a star on a chart. He's all excited. Everybody's excited. Now, does the kid know the pasuk? Well, the truth of the matter is, The greatest of minds didn't even begin to understand that sentence in Chumash. It's infinite depth. Okay? On the kid's level. But, on the kid's level, is it MS? It is MS. On his level of understanding, he knows it. But is it the ultimate truth that he knows the Pasuk? He doesn't know the Pasuk. The greatest of minds, Rabbi Kiva, it's infinite Torah. You can go into it, there's no end to it. So here the Alter Rebbe is saying though, that this level is real by every single Jew because we have it innate from birth. You're born a Jew, you become a Jew, you are innately have this b'chol eis v'chol shal mi'ava tivis, which is inheritance. You got it. We all got it because we have an inheritance from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So every Jew has this level. But you need to reveal it. And it's real because we all have it. Rak tzarech l'kveya itim, you need to establish times. L'esbein in begdulas Hashem, to meditate into the greatness of Hashem. L'hasik dechilu urechimu sichliyim, and to create intellectual fear and love of Hashem. Perhaps, maybe one will succeed, like he mentioned before. In other words, the Alter Rebbe says, the truth is, every single Jew has this level in them. This level of wanting nothing else but God, that's an inheritance from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. From Avraham we have love, from Yitzchak we have fear, from Yaakov we have the attribute of Teferis, of glory and beauty, or pity, whatever, whichever you want to look at. This is an inheritance that every single Jew has, no matter who they are. But he says we need to designate times to reveal it in a way that we openly feel that I'm connected. In other words, like we said, I mean, it brings out the point. When the person said to the Rebbe, I don't believe in God, right? The Rebbe said to him, the fact that you say you don't believe doesn't take away from the fact that you do. Because every Jew, by nature, believes in God. You can say you don't believe in God, but that doesn't take away from the reality that you really do believe in God. That's the reality. You believe in God. But nevertheless, the goal of the Jew is to reveal it in a way that it comes out into the open. And then you have this relationship with Hashem in a proper way. Okay.